Hey, this is H1. We're going to be running it back with another episode talking about chess knowledge, chess wisdom, and chess understanding. Today, we're going to be talking about practical tips that you can adhere by after you listen to this episode. So, I already did part one of this, which I will be reviewing, and then we're going to go into part two, and I'm going to give you some more tips because I was just thinking today, oh snap, this could be like a five-part thing right here. I could help a lot of people out with skipping a lot of experiences that I had to work hard through, and so that other people could be like, oh snap, I'm a stronger player now. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, and let's get straight into it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get started. And before we get started, I wanted to review some things that I talked about in the first part, which I talked about. I got my outline. It's crazy just looking at old nostalgic things. But anyway, I talked about when you're winning, what to do, because a lot of people don't know how to win winning positions, and it's hard to, especially when you have a lot of variations to go down. And I explained how to just do the simplest one. And some other stuff too. You would have to go over that first part again. But anyway, and then next, I went over when you're down on time, get into positions that are easier for you. Went more in depth into that. Depending on the time control, you don't have to be precise on every single move. And I still stand by that today. And then the last two things I went over is develop your mind to play certain positions normally. And you need to control nervousness in normal positions. And I just gave a lot of pretty decent tips in that. But today, I want to go over three things. And the first thing I want to go over is activity, activity, activity. And I know a lot of players are sick of like people saying this. But if you're not focused on activity during the chess game, you're going to lose very fast and you're not going to improve. For example, like when I used to teach back in my, I still teach now, but when I used to teach a lot more back in the day, there would be a lot of kids and even a lot of my private students that were like high schoolers, grown-ups, things of that nature. They would move pawns instead of developing a piece. When you're in the opening, you should be able to just throw down the moves very quickly. It shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes to throw down all your moves, especially in the opening where it's repetitive. So here's the thing. When you're playing fast time controls in chess, all you should be thinking about is activity. Where can I put my piece where it has better quality? Like, is my piece doing a good job right there in that spot? Or would it be doing a better job in a different spot? Like, do my bishop really need to be on that diagonal? Or can my bishop be on that diagonal targeting a queen or a king? Things of that nature. You got to be in the right mindset to put your pieces where they need to be put so that you can have a better position, so that you can overwhelm your opponent, make sure that they do a blunder so that you can take advantage of their weakness and get into a winning position and win the game. That's the mindset that you have to have. But if you're not thinking of activity, especially in the beginning, you're going to forget about it. So here's the thing. I used to have this problem, especially playing faster time controls, and especially when I started playing bullet games. So when I started out playing bullet games, I just used to think to myself, okay, activity, activity, activity. And I used to say it silently in my head so I don't forget. And when I kept that in mind, I started thinking of better moves because I was like, okay, I'm still reciting activity in my head. I was like, all right, if I'm thinking of activity, then that knight definitely needs to be at a better spot. Let me reorganize where that knight is. Nothing is going on right now. My opponent doesn't really have any good threats, captures, or checks. so I can still reorganize my pieces to be at better spots. Maybe I want to attack, like, what do I need to attack? Okay, if I'm attacking right over there, then my pieces need to be hopping over there, all right? And if I'm trying to have a kingside attack, then my pieces need to be on the direction of attacking my opponent's king, things of that nature. That's what you should be thinking about. Your pieces should be going towards your main goal, your main purpose of the position. If you have a position where your pawn chain is targeting your opponent's king, then your pieces need to be on that exact same path. All right, so activity is really important. Gary Kasparov used to think of the three words to evaluate a position: space, quality, and what's the other one? Space, quality, quality is activity. Dang it, I forgot the other one. But he used to think of three simple words that kept him on track on like what he was trying to do. And those three words he followed by throughout his whole career. Like, because once you get better, once you get stronger, you don't have to think about king safety all the time. You don't have to think about center control all the time. That should just be ingrained already in your head. That should be muscle memory. But you do need to think about like your pawn structure, your what are your pieces doing, the quality, how much space you're controlling. Okay, so those are the three things: quality, space, and time. Because time is really important too. And when you have more activity than your opponent, then you can you're going to have more time if you have more quality. That's what I'm trying to get at. So that's one of the tips that I wanted to bring out. The second tip is speed. And what I mean by speed is doing your moves faster. And I want to get you at a fast pace on calculating. Like, it shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes to figure out the best move of a position. Actually, it should just take you 5 minutes, especially if you're playing a classical game and you're in a hypercritical position. Only you should be taking that, right? You shouldn't be taking 5 whole minutes on your first move, or you shouldn't be taking 5 minutes even on a move that is 5 moves in, or even 7 moves in. But when you're taking a lot of time, it should definitely be at a critical moment where if you don't do the right move, then you could lose the game and it's going to change the whole atmosphere of the position. How you can get faster at those times is by doing chess puzzles, and not just doing regular chess puzzles like online and just solving puzzles at any time period, things of that nature. This is what I need you to do if you're trying to get faster. You need to put a time limit on the chess puzzles that you're doing. If you're under 1600, and I think I talked about this before, but if you're under 1600, you should be taking no more than like 30 seconds on each chess puzzle. If it's taking you more than 30 seconds on a chess puzzle, then you need to go faster. And you need to train that like muscle in your brain too to go faster. It's mostly about patterns in chess. And what's the difference between a great player, a really strong player, and a weak player is that the strong player has more patterns. They know more patterns than you do. For example, like let's say you and another person knows how to do a Rubik's Cube. The person that has more experience in the Rubik's Cube know more patterns than you. And you're missing a few patterns. You're missing a few algorithms to even complete the Rubik's Cube. So that's what I'm saying. You need to know a lot more patterns so that you can do puzzles a lot faster, and you need to start like forcing yourself to go faster. And the only way to force yourself to go faster is by timing yourself. And if you don't reach the time and you get disappointed, just go through the solution. Don't stress about it. It's fine. It's cool. It's all a part of the process. You should only be worried if you're not catching the patterns exactly. And like, I don't know, if it takes you a year and you're not improving at all, then yeah, just have fun in chess. You know, it's fine. You know, listen to the podcast still. Don't be like that. But anyway, the last thing I wanted to talk about, which is a good practical tip, is that when you get to a certain point, especially if you're trying to get better at chess, you start going to chess tournaments. And I used to be like this too. and I played other players that was like this. I remember when I was young and I would play a lot of beginners that used to do the 4-move checkmate on me. And so you probably already know where I'm heading. There are some openings that you need to just throw away if they're giving you a bad result. And the 4-move checkmate is one of those openings. Even though that is a real opening that high-level players play sometimes, like 1% of the time, you're going to find some grandmaster that played it before. And Magnus Carlsen, I've seen him play for fun only, chess.org. But that isn't a real opening that you should be learning. Like, it's not a powerhouse opening like the Queen's Gambit Decline or the Queen's Gambit opening or the Catalan or a Rory Lopez or the Berlin or the Italian game. Those playing openings like the Hippopotamus or the Dragon Variation or the Poison Pond Sicilian Defense, you got to steer away from those openings because they're not solid and they're not practical, especially once you start facing tougher opponents. And you know what's going to make you even mad is that your opponents is going to know how to beat you in those openings, and they're going to know a lot more theory than you, especially in those sharp openings like this. I remember when I was trying to learn the Sicilian Defense, Poison Pond, and if you don't know what that opening is, it's very sharp, and you do one wrong move, then you're donezo. You're done. You might as well just cut it. Just lose the game. Just resign. Because most of your opponents will know, especially if they're veteran Sicilian players. And I was trying to learn this opening, and then I realized, why am I trying to learn this stupid opening that's not giving me any wins? I haven't won in this opening yet. Usually when I play a new opening, I win some, but none? That's crazy. So you just have to be careful with the openings that you are seeking out to improve in. Why would you put all your efforts into a dubious opening? And how do you know what a dubious opening is, H1? Well, you know what a dubious opening is when you're looking at high-level chess and they don't play those openings at all. And they don't play those type of openings for a reason. For example, Fabiano Caruana wanted to play the Benoni defense for a long time. I think it was like a couple years ago. He was trying to play the Benoni defense. But then he realized the other players around him avoided the Benoni defense, which is an easy opening to avoid. And so what happened was Fabiano Caruana was like, I'm not going to put effort into playing the Benoni defense anymore if none of the grandmasters want to even challenge me on this opening that I practiced so hard in. So, yeah, there's just certain openings, and they might be fun, and it might be a gambit that you love doing, but you have to throw it away if you're trying to get better at chess. You got to cut it off now in the early stages so you're not wasting time, and you can get your rating, you can start getting paid off of going to tournaments, things of that nature, if you're trying to be competitive. Now, if you're just trying to have fun, then do whatever you want, you know, play the Evans Gambit. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Evans Gambit, actually. Let me not put that out there. Play the Frum's Gambit, or what's another dubious gambit? Play the Leviathan Gambit if you're just trying to have fun. But if you're trying to get serious, get more wins, get your rating up, train your brain, actually be competition for stronger players, then you have to cut those openings off and start playing real chess. Pretty much. All right. Hopefully these tips helped you out. Let's get to the next segment. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode. I do appreciate doing this podcast. So, if you want to stay notified, please follow the podcast. You're probably wondering, what happened last week? H1, why wasn't you here? Well, I was on vacation. I was enjoying life. Because you shouldn't be a workaholic. So, I went to Colorado, had fun with my family, and it was pretty good. Now I can come back to chess with a whole new energy that you haven't seen before. I got a blog, I'm on YouTube, I'm live streaming on TikTok, I'm doing a lot of stuff right now. And I put out a chess course. Actually, the 28th, I put out a chess course. I launched it. It's a beginner chess course. And I put out classes that you can attend. I think it's like $50 a month that you can attend. And I will teach you personally twice a week. So if you want to get better at chess, you can join that too. Remember, I'm a busy guy. And this is a one-man team. I got you. Stay up. Keep on reaching after your goals. Everybody who needs that encouragement. And I will see you next time. Pizza. Pizza. What was that? I meant to say peas, but pizza. I must be hungry.